What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today, well, tonight, it's like 9 o'clock, I think. This is the latest podcast I've done. I'm surprised I'm awake, but let's fucking do it.
Hell yeah, man.
But we got Waves in April, a metalcore band out of New Braunfels. You guys want to go and introduce yourselves? I don't want to mess any names up.
I'm Dirks.
I'm Lucas.
Hey, I'm Willie.
And I'm Al.
Hell yeah. How you guys doing? You've been staying busy?
Oh my God. Yeah. Yes.
Very busy.
Constant movement.
Yeah, we just got back from Aftershock, and now we go to When We Were Young in 2 days.
Yep.
That's exciting.
And we just rolled out a single also, so that's also cool.
Yep. Yeah, we'll be hitting on that here in a minute, but I guess let's start at the beginning for those who aren't aware of you guys yet. Let's just kind of talk about how you guys met, formed up, how you guys became Waves in April.
Okay, so, well, we went to School of Rock. So my mom, okay, so we'll start with my mom. My mom opened up a School of Rock here in New Braunfels in 2018, and about 2019, it was about March, I think, and me and Luke, we were friends. Willie's my brother. Elle's also my best friend. So, like, we got best friend, brother. So, you know, it just kind of fell through. It's kind of worked. And,
You and I originally met, like, 10 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, we met a long time ago. Get this. We met at a theater program.
Theater
program.
We were in high school theater kids. But like not even we were theater kids, but not even into theater music.
Yeah, that's probably why we did that.
I think it was just homeschool activities.
Yeah. So, right on. Go ahead.
No, you're good. All right.
Sorry, I was taking a swig. So I guess you said you met in theater and stuff. So like were you off? Like obviously. Your group is like it's a metal band straight up. So were you guys all into that kind of music, or did you find like common ground? How'd that all work out?
It kind of just evolved.
We kind of all started on different genres.
Yeah, like I was a big fan of Slipknot. I mean, that's my original band that got me into everything.
I started off as like a pop punk kind of kid.
Mm-hmm. I was like a Midwest emo and pop punk. And then I, like, slowly got into metalcore throughout that.
I was definitely a grunge and new metal baby.
Then eventually, through time, metalcore just kind of came on the rise.
We all started in subgenres of emo.
Yeah.
Awesome. I want to kill myself and everything sucks. In different.
Oh, yeah. I when I was in high school, I was, like, MCR was, like, the biggest thing.
Yeah.
So I know exactly what you're talking about. It was
Lucas an MCR tattoo.
Yeah, he does. He got an MCR tattoo.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Linkin Park.
Yeah, we got Linkin Park.
I got Lynyrd Skynyrd on mine. That's a little different, but. But I think I'm well tuned with the metal genre, but I struggle a lot with the subgenres. So how there's like a million of them damn things. So how would you describe what metalcore is to someone like me who's ignorant of it?
So metalcore originally started as metal and hardcore mixed together. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of evolved into I don't want to say metal pop, but almost kind of like that. Like it's not exactly that. It went from metal and hardcore to this like era from 2005 to 2010, 12, where I started adding kind of more clean vocals into the choruses and more of like a set song structure going into kind of like how it is nowadays, like modern metalcore. Like you got Motionless in Mind, Ice Nine Kills,
Bring Me
the Horizon.
They started modern metalcore.
I would say like, it was like Hatebreed and Avenged Sevenfold kind of started the original metalcore.
Yeah, so
I'm not the best at like explaining that, but that's how I see it.
I think my best sum up of what metalcore is it's like very, very intense through the entire song except the chorus. And the chorus is like a nice, pretty.
There's exceptions. Melodic.
Yeah, melodic. Actually. Melodic choruses and screaming verses and breakdowns and, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, would, like, Falling in Reverse be kind of like that then?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, sir.
All right,
that's my favorite band.
I love Falling in Reverse. I know there's a lot of controversy around Ronnie Radke, but I love Falling in Reverse.
Ronnie Radke fans, dude.
Hell yeah. So, were you guys all from Texas, I'm assuming?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so with the Texas music scene being how it is, and now, like with artists, like you got like at the very top, you got like Coe Wetzel, guys like that. When people think, at least from where I'm from, about Texas music, they automatically think, oh, country music. And it's like not really that at all anymore. It took maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I feel like it took like a leap from that. Like big time, like with Coe and like Noise Complaint and all that. But so with your guys' music being metalcore and like having no country element at all, did you guys take anything from the Texas music scene just being around it, or even like Red Dirt and everything? Like did you guys take any influence from that, or did you guys kind of pave your own way?
It's almost like we took some of the aesthetic.
We were raised in it.
We were born and raised into the
Texas music scene, and I'm super grateful for everybody in the scene because they have really helped us.
And yeah, we would be absolutely nothing without my dad.
Yeah, and he
it's also hard as funk.
It is hard.
It's a different kind of hard, but it's really hard.
It's hard to break out of it. But I'm grateful for it.
Metal is a really hard scene to get into.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. You have to work your ass off to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
So go in a little bit on that. Like, what makes it so different? What makes it harder to get into?
Well, we're from New Braunfels.
Yeah, we're from New Braunfels. It's very tight. Like, it's a very tight scene. Everyone's super close, and it's just, I mean, it's hard. It's hard to break into friend groups in real life. Think about it. Like trying to break into a friend group at, like, school and... Mm-hmm. It's just impossible. Like, it's hard to do. But, like...
There's so many different, like... It's not even scenes. There's just so many bands. It's not a lot of bands, but there's a good amount of bands that are all different, and they don't really fit into a scene. It's just kind of bands that are in from New Braunfels.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you kind of mentioned it a couple minutes ago, but, like, so the already established acts and everything in that scene, they helped you guys out and, like, really, like, kind of, like, take you under their wing a little bit and everything? That's it.
Yeah, for sure.
That's good to hear, especially like having such a different sound and everything.
For sure, especially like the Departed, obviously. I mean, that's my parents. American Aquarium, great people. They helped us out. Shane Smith and the Saints, they're great people also.
Jamie
Lynn, she's very influenceful on her.
A lot of similarities that Metal and Red Dirt kind of have is it's kind of, I guess, female-led nowadays. You know what I mean? It's starting to get more female-led. Both scenes are, so we can. I guess that kind of gives us a bigger chance into making it.
And it creates like a cool dynamic too with like the female-led vocals, and especially in like especially a genre like metal. Like, I feel like that's really cool dynamic to have.
Yeah, and there's a lot. Right now, you have like Hailstorm, The Warning, Evanescence, obviously he's older, and then you have bands like
Linkin Park has a chick singer now,
Dead Sarah and Not Enough Space, stuff like that.
Not Enough Space is my favorite right now. They're awesome. They're female fronted at metalcore today.
In this moment,
there's so many.
Yeah,
Deadlands.
So
Deadlands is new too.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. That's cool to see that like really popping nowadays. So speaking of Linkin Park, I gotta ask, what do you guys think about that whole reunion? You pretty pumped for it?
I think it's good.
I'm pumped. Me and Elle, we went and got matching tattoos of their logo as soon as they got out together.
Ed Sarah was the L-Star band before she joined Linkin Park.
Ed Sarah has been, I went to Rockville in like 2021 and I saw Dead Sarah at like 2 p.m. and so good. I've literally been like the biggest fangirl
day one
since then. And when they announced that she was gonna be the lead singer of Linkin Park, I was like, and that's my bitch.
Wow, yeah, that would have been sick. So So how would you guys describe your sound in like in a nutshell? Like, how would you guys describe Waves in April's sound?
South Central Metalcore.
Yeah, yeah, that's how we put ourselves as South Central Metalcore.
It's
metalcore. It's modern metalcore, but you can tell, you can absolutely hear the influences of who we like.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
If we're into a band at the time and we write a new song, it's probably gonna end up sounding like that band.
Yeah, it's like you can hear the influence of the song. Yeah, like Dear Diary, that was one of our songs. You can totally hear that. That's the spirit, like Bring Me the Horizon era, in that song. Uzumaki, you can also hear the Sempiternal Bring Me the Horizon era. We like Bring Me the Horizon a lot.
So, like, do you, another thing I noticed, and this, I also, correct me if I'm wrong, because, like, I don't know if I'm hearing the right shit or not. I'm not a, really a professional musician or anything, but with, have you guys, like, delved into, like, kind of, like, the electronic element at all into your music? Like, add any kind of electronic
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's fun.
That's dope as hell. I love having synths in.
Yeah, my favorite band ever is Motionless in White, and they have a lot of like synth stuff.
Just open the back door of my knee, my bad.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, like I was saying, Motionless in White is my favorite band a lot, and we really like them, and they have a lot of like synth stuff. And
yeah,
we call it spooky metal.
Yeah.
Spooky metal. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And I really like with like metal music, which I, so like with metal music for me, like I listen to like, you know, the classic metal music, like we're talking like Iron Maiden, Black Sabbath, that kind of shit. And then I got into like Korn and Limp Bizkit and all them guys, and I'm like, this like kind of hip hop electronic kind of deal, like new metal, like that's kind of a brings like a, I would argue it kind of like changed metal, right? Like, would you say the same thing?
Yeah, it did. I know Limp Bizkit isn't the most loved band, but I mean, I love them too. I love Limp Bizkit, but
yeah,
changed the game. They changed the game for sure. Back then, like
they're
it was completely new.
Yeah, they're unironically like my favorite band of all time. Like
they're so
like,
good.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah,
they're so good. But so how would you guys describe your live show? Like, I'd assume it's pretty damn energetic or and all that.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, it is very energetic.
I like, so we have a song called Decay, and during that song, there's a thing called The Last Riff. It's kind of a bear tooth. There's this band called Beartooth, and they do this thing called The Last Riff, right? And he jumps into the crowd with a guitar and just walks. And I did that. I've been doing that since Decay came out.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun. Like, but just being energetic, getting mosh pits riled up. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. It's awesome.
We only have a few mosh pits at our shows, but every time they smile a lot. It's one of my favorite things ever.
We'll have more to come.
Please.
Yeah, it can't beat a good mosh pit. What are some venues you guys have played at that like really stick out to you?
We played at Emo's once. Or twice, actually.
Emo's Austin.
I was wrong. Yeah, we played at Emo's in Austin once, and then Come and Take It. Fair a few times. I think
Come and Take It's awesome.
Yeah, Come and Take It's great.
Great venue.
We've played at Vibes Underground.
Green Hall. Kane's Ballroom.
Kane's Ballroom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
Kane is great.
Kane has never disappointed ever. Yeah. They always have amazing crowds.
They always bring the concerts.
Yeah, it's the funny thing about Kane's, and like I've only been there I think one time, but like I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong again, but like in like Oklahoma and Texas, like with country music being like the prevalent prevalent thing there, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, is it hard to get like a rock, metal, punk, whatever band that's not country, like to play at these venues? Is there like kind of like an unspoken rule there, or are they pretty open to it? Because like the reason is with Kane's. Like Kane's, like I believe, like they had like a pop up Green Day show there, like a couple years back.
Kansas has everyone.
Kansas is very diverse.
Yeah,
there's a band we really like called Memphis McFire that's playing there like in like a month or so.
With Shells Andrew too.
Yeah. In their green room, they like have posters of everyone who's played there before. Every genre you can think of, like every genre you can think of.
There's a band called Royal Blood, and they played there a day after us.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Keynes is very good about that. Here in New Braunfels, it's a little difficult. Yeah. Like, I'm sure Green Hall wouldn't allow us if we weren't opening for my dad.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a rule for the headliners.
Yeah.
If the headliner says they want it, then they get it.
Headliner gets the opening band.
We're also starting to get more new and around New Braunfels, which is really cool.
Yeah,
that's pretty dope. So, like, with I feel like when you have, like, maybe, like your main act and then, like, maybe two openers or one opener, like, I saw, like, American Slang. You guys know American Slang?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
So, like they opened, it was them, Mitchell Ferguson, and Austin Mead one day, and, like, they're all, you know, the rock-centric still, but, like the stage show and everything is so different, and, like, the live performance, I feel like that brings a really cool dynamic to the whole thing.
Yeah, for sure. Austin's been pushing the boundaries of Red Dirt.
Well, I feel like he definitely broke out of Red Dirt, sure. Like, whenever he released Black Sheep.
Yeah.
That album was, like not metal, but pretty heavy. It was pretty heavy.
I mean, he also plays, like, the Danny Murfest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then what was the one after?
Abstract art
of a something unstable mind. That one was like a lot more like poppy and upbeat, and it had a lot more like I could hear the influences from a lot more modern artists as opposed to like the Whitesnake and Judas Priest that I remember Austin being like to, you know.
Yeah,
we went to Austin's wedding and his aisle song was Here We Go Again.
Yeah, he walked down the aisle.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah. And then Willie played guitar for Lindsay to walk down the aisle.
Oh, that's sweet.
David Murray.
I know what you meant. But it is funny because like with when I talk to it, I could nerd out on Austin all day. Like, this is basically an Austin fan club podcast by now. But anyway, like,
I can tell
you're tossing her in flag on right now.
Yeah. but like, I think like Black Sheep was definitely like his big breakout album. Whatever you want to call it. But it is cool with him. And I feel like it's a cool path for like up and comers to follow. Like you guys, like maybe like because he experiments and progresses with each release, and I feel like that's what makes him stand out like a lot when it comes to because like the Texas scene, like when there's a certain switch to like more of a rock sound, that's what everyone wants to do, and it could become a little oversaturated. So I feel like when you want to experiment, do some different shit. Like Abstract Art was like a completely like experimental album. It was so weird and different. It's like I feel like when you guys like write music and create, like do you guys ever think about that, like what's the next thing we could try, let's put some like you said like synth into it, like anything like that?
Yeah
I mean literally one of the recent songs that we wrote, we just randomly were like let's do like a rappy verse in part.
It worked
Yeah, our writing process is very much so like
it's coordinated
yeah, and like it'll be like
is it though?
Yeah, I'm trying to like think about how we do it. It usually starts with a riff idea or a song name idea,
someone writes the
lyrics. And then we'll
it's just like this is what we want it to be about.
And when we write, we just like we talk about it. Okay, so how would the verse gonna be? Do we want a singing verse or do we want a screaming verse? Do we want a rapping verse? What do we want to go with this? So go screaming verse, like okay, so usually fast riffs, and then with my dirty vocals over it, and then we'll do like we'll say okay, we need to build this up to a pre-chorus that kind of breaks, and then a chorus that's just huge and catchy, and that's usually what we do, and then it goes kind of repeat the process until we get to the breakdown.
This is where we
go crazy.
Yeah.
Breakdowns are where we go ham, and that's kind of our strong
point. Even when we're by ourselves, our brains are pretty much constantly like you know what I mean?
We were on a plane flying back from California, and I wrote a whole song just sitting on the plane.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So I guess then, like, when it comes to writing, it, like, all of you are involved. It's not like just one of you, like, doing the writing or any of that. That's yeah. awesome.
We all write. We all parts for.
We also all play multiple instruments. Yeah. So we all understand what we everybody else wants. You know?
Mm-hmm. Be yeah. like, Willie, don't do da da da. Do da da da. And then, things
like that. That's awesome. So, is there, being in such like a tight-knit community where you guys are, do you guys ever work with other artists, or are there any other artists you'd like to work with?
Well, I mean, there's a laundry list of
yeah.
artists we'd like to work with.
artists we have worked with, though. I mean, we will, okay, so our producer is Matt Noveski from Blue October, and sweetest guy ever. But he is so, so smart. He is, like, I would say he's a genius, honestly.
He's like, one of the best people I've ever
seen. He produced an album for Nothing More.
Yeah, oh, he did wow. Nothing More. But around town, honestly, I mean, there's a good niche of bands. It's just, I don't know. Everybody here in New Braunfels is a different genre.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what we work with, we usually work with more San Marcos and San Antonio.
Okay. Right on.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like most other bands, I feel like we're like, probably not the only, but the only that I know where we literally all live in New Braunfels. Like, a lot of other bands, they've got a member that lives in San Marcos, or a member that lives in San Antonio, or a member that lives in Sedan, but we're all right here. Like,
I do think we are the only metalcore band in New Braunfels.
I think we are.
I think we are.
But all collectively.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'd believe that for sure. Like,
we're definitely unique to our community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, that'll make you stand out, though. That's a good thing.
It does, yeah, that's like the one thing that like helps me motivate me is like we're the black sheep, and I was always. You can see, like, you can absolutely tell, like, that we, you can absolutely tell that we're different from the rest.
Yeah,
I am the black sheep.
So let's talk a bit about your newest single, Uzumaki. I said that right, right?
Yep, sure did.
Hell yes. I was practicing that all day. So that came out in September, I believe. So are you guys happy, first off, with like the reception from everybody and all the listeners?
Oh, yeah, 50,000.
Yeah, dude, people have been bumping that shit. It's awesome. Yeah. It's our highest grossing single we've ever put out.
Yeah.
And it's our heaviest, too, so that's – yeah.
Yeah, it definitely stood out to me. It popped up on like the release radar shit on Spotify, which I just discovered that's a thing. I'm kind of dumb when it comes to the technology, but yeah, that's how I heard it. And I'm like, oh wait, I know who these guys are. But like, it's badass. I love it. It's a great song. And like you were talking, like the heaviness and the like you said, the dirty vocals. You said it's called.
Yep.
I like that better than I usually say, oh yeah, the Cookie Monster singing. I don't know. But that with the melodic part from L, like, it's a great dynamic there. And so I guess just is there like a background to it? Is there a story or a theme behind it, or how'd you guys come up with the song?
Yeah, there is.
There is.
I could go full force and just say exactly what it's about.
Do it.
Okay.
If you want to, I don't know. It's up to you.
Bad relationship.
Okay. So, oh boy.
Yeah. Our.
You don't gotta say nothing. You don't have to. It's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's a bad relationship.
Okay. That works.
It's about being stuck in a relationship and you think you can't leave because of convenience, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why it's called spiral.
Yeah. Uzumaki means spiral in Japanese, so that's kind of the origin of that.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah. But hey, that's a relatable subject. I feel like everyone has been through that in some way or another.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everyone. Everyone's first relationship.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, and you, I think you mentioned before, but where do you guys record at, and who did you say you record with?
Matt Noveski. We record at the Orb Studios in Austin.
Okay. Hell yeah. Yeah. That's, How's the scene out in Austin? I don't like the music scene. It has to be pretty damn good.
It's Austin's crazy. Cool. It's crazy. It's
that's kind of where we want to go.
Yeah. It's awesome, but it's also pretty oversaturated.
Yeah. Is it pretty But so it's not really like that diverse. I would think it would be with it being such like
it's extremely diverse.
Okay.
It's just there's a lot of stuff going on.
Austin gives me anxiety. Yeah. Austin gives me anxiety.
Yeah, I took a walk through Austin one day, and what's it called? Sixth Street? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So from what I hear, Sixth Street's a lot of fun, like at nighttime when it's popping. But I went through around like 1 PM, and it's not popping. It's actually pretty scary. That's when all the
No, Sixth Street is scary, man.
We did this thing. We did this little scavenger hunt thing like 3 years ago. But like, oh, yeah. And we went down to Sixth Street, and we're like, we should probably just leave.
It's
not worth the online points.
Yeah.
Oh man. So nowadays, and you guys being younger, you guys are probably good at it, but like the whole thing with the music industry now, a lot of it has to do with like the social media aspect and the TikToks and all that stuff.
We'd be good at it, but we're not.
Yeah,
okay.
It's hard. It's so basically,
yeah, go ahead.
What to be a successful musician in this genre, you also have to be a content creator. Mm-hmm. And that sucks, in my opinion.
It's annoying.
It sucks, and it's annoying. But it can be fun. Like, yeah. We have the right group of people that's fun. Like, yeah. We're all really close. And so if you just film random shit that you're doing in the day, then that works for content.
I can usually iMovie edit it into something pretty funny.
Yeah, she does a lot.
That's awesome. And, like some guys I talk to, guys and gals I talk to, like they have like their like label or whoever, manager, whatever, kind of breathing down their neck. Like, you got to post a TikTok today. And that's usually what turns them off to it. And they become like kind of, you know, they don't like it. So being able to do it, I guess, at your own leisure could be way better, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we're kind of breathing down.
Pressure is because our manager is my mom.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, right on.
It's more like we're breathing down our own. It's just,
yeah. Because yeah. Kind of prefer ourselves, but we need to, you know.
You have to set a certain point. You have to set a certain expectation for yourself to get all this stuff out. Because whenever you're trying to get a band bigger, you really need to work every day.
Sometimes it needs to be stressful.
Yeah,
I think personally, if you don't work an hour each day on your band, then you're probably not going to make it.
Yeah,
at least.
Yeah.
I mean, we practice pretty much every day.
Yeah, that's a good mindset to have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what keeps you guys like motivated and like not getting burnt out all the time?
It's the only option.
It's yeah,
that's
because your job is playing music too, right?
Yeah,
people are rock, so
it's the only option. Is my thing. It's like, if I don't make it,
if I don't make it, I'm working at Jersey Mike's for.
No, so to be honest, first of all, I have a few things to say about that.
Yeah.
First of all, when it comes to like working at the school, playing music all day, and then going home and practicing for hours on end to play more music. Mm. It's very different. Just those two things alone. Yeah. Like, at the school, like, love my job, but we're teaching little kids to play Green Day and Seven Nation Army and, like those kinds of songs. And, of course, like, the older kids are learning more advanced stuff, but it's not our picks. Yeah. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's the School of Rock corporate teaching curriculum. Yep. And it's awesome, but then it almost makes us look forward to practicing more, because I'm like, I need to stop hearing White Stripes for my
You get tired of hearing the Beatles for 6 hours a day.
Yeah, so there's that, and then also, like it's been said multiple times, I think since we're all so close, like, we have fun hanging out. Like, there have been practices where we didn't even practice, and we ended up just, like, going to Taco Bell, and then...
Yeah, and we all work at School Rock except Luke, and he occasionally does, so...
Yeah, and it also has to help, like you said, like, even you get together just to go to Taco Bell or hang out and talk, like, that says something too, like being close, like you guys are best friends, you two are brothers, you're best friends, like that has to be like a huge aspect to it, is being so close.
Oh my god,
absolutely.
If a band isn't friends, and it's not gonna work.
It's so much fun. Like, I mean, like, we seriously went the other day, we went around town with flyers. We had about 50 flyers, and actually I think it was like 75 flyers, and we just hung them around, and it was just fun. Like, it was just a fun time because we were just joking around with our friends. We went to Spirit of Halloween, got some cool stuff. She got her scythe in the back.
It's right here. It was going up my butt whenever it was going.
Yeah, we haven't talked to it. Yeah, some photos we just dropped on Instagram.
Yeah, so you're passing out flyers. That's pretty damn old school.
Yeah, it is, but it works. It's effective.
It's
fun. Oh, I bet. Yeah,
we put a QR code on it, so there has some new school in there.
Yeah.
The other day we were handing out flyers, and we just so happened to run into somebody wearing a Data member shirt.
Yeah,
like, hey, he'll like us.
Yeah,
there you go. What do you guys coming up? What do you guys have coming up for shows and everything? Like, any cool dates that you guys are looking forward to?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we got Green Hall on October 25th with Cody Canada, The Departed. We got that's going to be a killer show. There's only 100 tickets left, so if you want to get them now. But we have November 1st in Stillwater. We're playing Homecoming.
OSU.
Oh, wow.
OSU Homecoming. Yeah, that's going to be fun. It's always fun. We play that annually.
Where do you play at out there during Homecoming?
Eskimo, so there's a little parking lot outside of Eskimo Joe's, and that's where we go.
Yeah. I worked for the school for like a year. When I lived down there for a year. That's the only reason I know about Red Dirt Music. I moved down there with my girlfriend at the time for a year, and I worked for the school like driving a forklift, and I had the setup for like Homecoming and shit. And mm-hmm. Oh my God, was it? It was probably like the most intense work day I've ever had in my life. Like,
yeah, man,
it was crazy. So that's going to be dope. You guys are going to probably have like well, you say you play it annually, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
so yeah. How's your crowds out there usually?
They're good. They're pretty good, but pretty rowdy. This year's going to be fucking insane.
This year's going to be fun
because of the ragweed shit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Departed's going to be there, and the Smoking. Okay, so Grady Cross, the Smoking Oaks is his kid's band, Slade. And so it'll be Smokin' Oaks, which is Slade and his band, us right after them, and BC and the Big Red. They're unrelated to the Departed, but they're good. But and then it's the Departed. So yeah.
Oh yeah. So if people are smart enough to like connect the dots, there, like, gonna get a bunch of ragweed fans there for sure. Then.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's also gonna be rowdy because it's a bunch of college kids.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Get some pits going.
That goes without saying, man. They're gonna be ready to party for sure. So So what do you, what about any new music? I know you guys just released your new single, but is there anything else you got coming down the pipe you could talk about?
Yeah, we do. So,
I'm so excited. This new music is our heaviest stuff as well.
It's the stuff we've been wanting to make for years.
Yeah. Okay. So, Dead Throne?
Yeah.
Okay. So Dead Throne, that song will probably be around December to January. We don't have exact dates yet, but we'll update. That's going to be a heavy one.
It's one of our heaviest ones.
Yeah, that's going to be a heavy one. But, it's called Dead Throne. And we play it live every show.
It's one of my favorite breakdowns of all time.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite breakdowns to play, like, of ours. Mm-hmm. And also just one of my favorite breakdowns
ever. Yeah, just to listen to. Yeah. But we have a lot of material.
Yeah.
And
there's so much shit.
We're going to try and shoot for an album around probably fall next year, around this time.
Okay.
Next year. Yeah. Well, we try to shoot for an album then. But
and with the pace we've been going at, I think it's gone.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's gone.
We'll be maybe even sooner.
Yeah. Honestly. Yeah, but don't have exact dates yet. But, yeah, we'll be pumping singles out like crazy.
That's exciting, guys.
Yeah. We're super excited.
I'm excited too. I can't wait to see what y'all have in store for real. Like when I heard Uzumaki, I said it right. Okay. When I heard that one, I was like, this shit slaps. Like this, like it's stuck in my head. Like I gotta have more of that. But, guys, thanks for hopping on. This was a fun, thanks a lot. I've been looking forward to talking to you guys. And,
Man. Thanks for having us, dude.
Yeah, and if you guys have any socials, websites, plugs, anything you want to throw out there for people to follow you on, the floor is yours.
Yeah, we got Waves in April on almost everything. Yeah. It's just Waves in April. Wavesintexas.com is our website. We'll have merch up there eventually. We had to kind of do a rebrand, but we have new merch coming soon. Green Hall will have new merch.
Each of us individually are our names in April.
Yes. Dirk's in April, Luke in April, Willis in April, Elle in April. That's our Instagrams. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, again, guys, thanks for hopping on. Everyone, follow them and listen to their shit because they're going to blow up and you might want to get there early to hear that shit. So also, while you're at it, look up Raise Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. Just Google us. We'll pop up. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks, Waves and April, for the interview. And we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
My boots would look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight?